Welcome to the Working Mama Podcast, a show that provides real-world tips, tricks, and advice to all working mamas on how they can have a career, family, and hopefully one day break the glass ceiling.
Hey there, Mama. Welcome back to another episode of the Working Mama Podcast. This week, I have an absolutely dynamite, an absolute amazing guest of Mia Fileman on the podcast as a guest. You may know her from Campaign Del Mar, and she's like the queen of queens around campaigns. But today we're actually not talking to her about the business. We're actually talking to her and her experiences of being a Navy wife. So I know many of us sometimes are like, oh my goodness, I wish my husband had helped out more. Well, for 9 weeks at a time, at different periods, she has no help. She's on her own in Darwin, managing literally everything. So Mia's story is really inspirational and really interesting as well about how she goes about this journey. So she's got a lot of different hints, tips, and fun stories along the way. So as always, I would really appreciate if you would be able to leave a rating, a review, and actually share it with someone else that you think may also enjoy this podcast. So I'll let you get into this absolutely amazing episode with Mia.
Welcome to the Working Mama Podcast, a show that provides real-world tips, tricks, and advice to all working mamas on how they can have a career, family, and hopefully one day break the glass ceiling. Welcome, Mia. Welcome to the Working Mama Podcast. How's your day going so far?
So well. Thank you so much for having me, Karina. I have been like hoping you would ask me because we've been like best friends for a few years now, and here I am. So
I'm so glad that we're finally being able to lock this down, because we have been talking about this for a while. And a lot, for those of you that may not have heard about Mia, do you want to just tell us a little bit about you? Because also you're known as like the campaign queen, but we're not talking about that today, because we're actually talking about a different bit of perspective on you and your role as a military wife. So for those that don't know you, what's your background?
So I'm a professional marketer. I was born in Melbourne and I spent 2 decades working in marketing. And then I met this very sexy helicopter pilot in the army. And that really started a very different journey for me, away from corporate Melbourne and trendy South Yarra agencies to regional Queensland and now Darwin. And we move every couple of years. So I needed a business model that was portable. And so I guess I have my husband to thank for my business.
Do you want to just take us through what's that journey been like, or even that decision process of going from that corporate Melbourne to regional Australia? That I can imagine that must have been quite a transition.
Yeah. So I come from a family of entrepreneurs. So I was always going to run my own business. It was just a question of when. And so really, I feel that meeting Dave and moving to Toowoomba was our first posting. So regional Queensland was really the push that I needed before I was going to jump anyway. It was a huge transition because I went from earning, you know, several hundred thousand dollars a year working for global brands like Maybelline and Vegemite to trying to convince a small business owner in Toowoomba that they should pay me $80 an hour to do their marketing. And they were just like, not so sure, to be honest. I don't think that's great value for money. So very, very, very different to what I was doing in big corporate. But small business will always have my heart. My parents were small business owners. They're migrants from Greece. And I've seen firsthand how small business can, you know, change the world. And so I kind of just, you know, made it work.
So what happens in military life? So I guess we all know, like, a lot of people get a job, they come home every night. But you talk about regular postings. How does that work and what's that consist of for Dave?
Yeah, okay. So there are posting cycles. Usually they are 2 to 3 years. And then about 6 months before your posting is due to run out, you get a letter saying this is where you're going next.
No choice.
You sometimes get a choice, sometimes you don't. You sit with a careers advisor and you put preferences, but they do not need to follow those preferences. often you will not get your first preference. You will get your second or your last preference. And so then 6 months before you need to pack up your entire life, your entire family, you find out where you're going next. Sometimes it's less than 6 months. Sometimes it's like you're actually going now. Like, we need someone now, and so you're going now. So it is very, very different to everyday life. The other thing is that being in the military requires an incredible amount of training. It doesn't matter what job you do in the military, they all do a lot of training because, you know, we're preparing for war, we're preparing for conflict. So in terms of my husband going away, he is away for around 4 months of the year on average, sometimes more, sometimes a little bit less, definitely a lot less during COVID, but definitely a lot more this year because he just had more training exercises and more courses that he needed to do. So every time you get promoted in the army, you have to do like a 9-week course somewhere interstate. And you just check out of your life. You just go and do this 9-week course, and there is zero support for the family. I mean, there's a like a phone number you can call if something goes wrong, but it's not.
Oh, how nice, there's a phone call.
Yeah. But there's not like, oh, hey, you know, you are going to be solo parenting for the next 8 weeks, so we're going to give you some additional money for after school care, or we're going to. No, there's nothing. There's absolutely nothing. So I do solo parent a lot of the time. What I guess surprises people the most about it is that when he comes back from these courses and these exercises, it's not like FIFO. He doesn't then get a week off. He goes straight back to work the next day. However, having said that, there are some great benefits to being in the military. And this is year 12 for me. So I've done this for a really long time. It has allowed us to see parts of Australia we would never have gone to before, like Darwin. And they do pack us up and move us every time. They put us up in great temporary accommodation while we wait for our furniture. My husband is paid extremely well for what he does. He gets 8 weeks of annual leave a year, and he loves his job, which is, to me, it's everything. You know, I was previously engaged before meeting Dave, and my ex-fiancé was miserable. He hated his job. Whereas Dave has this love of life that is so contagious for me that it all makes it worthwhile. And also, I am incredibly proud, so proud. Like, he is serving our country, and it's a service to our community. So for those reasons, I have to reconcile the good with the bad.
Yeah, no, that certainly seems. When we talk about the mental load, you seem to wear it, you know, for 4+ months of a year. What's that like? Because I know, like, we always talk about, you know, share the mental load and that, but how does that work? And when he comes back from a training or a deployment, is it just he then just slips straight back in, or how does that go as well?
Yeah, so there's a readjustment period. So my husband's an officer, which makes things a little bit differently and a little bit different. When officers go away for like a training course, they're treated pretty well. Like, all their meals are catered for in a mess. Their towels are washed for them. Their rooms are cleaned for them. My husband has never booked a dental appointment or a doctor's appointment. It all gets booked for him. So when he comes back after 8 or 9 or 10 weeks away, there's an adjustment period. It's like, hey, don't forget to take out the rubbish. And like, I've had to do those jobs while he's away. Like, they have to get done. The rubbish needs to get taken out. I cook, you know, 7 days a week, or, you know, maybe 6 days a week when he's away. I do, you know, the tidying up. And so he's not used to doing it. And so then we have to readjust. I have to remind him sometimes that, oh, hey, Sunday night is the night that you cook dinner. And, oh, don't forget about the bins on Tuesday. And so that does make it difficult. When he goes away, it's quite intense for him, but it's also incredibly intense for me. And so when he gets back, I just want to hand 2 kids over to him and say, see you later. But he's often underfed, tired, worked 12-hour days, worked evenings, worked weekends, you know, especially if he's been on exercise. My husband will come back 6 kilos lighter, 8 kilos lighter, because they're eating rat packs. They're not having catered meals. And so he's exhausted. And that's really difficult because I am like counting down the days until he gets back so that I can have some support. But actually he gets back and he needs support, you know? So.
And I guess while he's away, you don't, if you're in a city that you've got no family, what's your support options in those situations?
Zero. I have zero support options in Darwin. I have my mother's group friends who are amazing and they're fantastic friends, but they are busier than I am. My closest friend here has four boys. Wow. And she's a doctor. She actually heads up the emergency department of Royal Darwin Hospital. So no, she's not going to take my kids. I'm going to take hers. And then my other friend is also a business owner. She runs the crepe van at the Mindle Beach Markets, which if you know Darwin, you know that the crepe van is the most famous thing to do at the Mindle Beach Markets. You know, there's an hour queue there. And so she's also incredibly busy. I don't know. I should just choose better friends.
Knowing you, I can't imagine someone that's going to be too slow in life.
Yeah. So, yeah, I have the two busiest friends on the planet in Darwin. And I remember distinctly a couple of months ago, Dave was away and I was sick. And I picked up my phone to text Erica to say, could you please take my kids? And there was a message from her saying, could you please take my kids? Damn you! So I don't have any family support. My closest family is in Canberra and I do pay a lot in babysitting and my kids go to after-school care. So I have to just fork out the money. I feel like where I have done well is training my kids. Like we will sit down and we will have a conversation. Dad is going away for 8 weeks. I'm on my own. I'm running a campaign, of course, always the way. So I really need your support and your help. And we're all going to do it together and there's going to be lots of rewards and we're going to have a really good time and we're going to go and do this and we're going to go and do this, but you need to help me during this time. And they don't know any different. This has been their entire life. And so I feel like my kids have had to step up just out of pure necessity.
And so how have you navigated your career then as a working mum going, you know, initially to Woomba trying to get the small business owner to pay you $80 an hour? And what's then been your journey to get to where you now are running your own business? And did you have to initially do, you know, office work as part of the deployment and try and change that every 2 years? Or what's that, what's your career journey been like as a military spouse?
Yeah, so after I left corporate, and I moved to Toowoomba, I started a consultancy, which became an agency. And that was great for the 2.5 years that we were in Toowoomba because it's one location and easy. Where it got tricky was when we got the first posting order, which was to Darwin, but I still had an agency in Toowoomba. So, and then I found out I was pregnant when I moved to Darwin. And in the year that I was pregnant, I made 6 flights between Darwin and Toowoomba. Which it's a 4-hour flight from Darwin to Brisbane. And then you've got a 2.5-hour drive down the Warrego Highway to go to Toowoomba. I did 6 of those while pregnant, bawling my eyes out the entire time, thinking this, why am I doing this? But my business was in Toowoomba and I had just been sent to Darwin. So we opened a branch of our agency in Darwin because that's where I was. I hired a manager in Toowoomba. So that was good. And then I did 5 years in Darwin, had another baby. And then when we got the posting order to Newcastle, I was like, I can't do this. An agency model makes zero sense for me as a military spouse. It takes around 2 years in a location to set up an agency. I worked a lot with government. And so that requires getting on government tenders. Mm. And it can take 6 months to get on a government tender. So it was that posting order to Newcastle. So now the third time I've moved in a number of years that I said an agency model is no longer for me. And I pivoted, for lack of a better word, to an online business model. And since I did that in 2019, it is literally like the poster says, you close your laptop in one location and you open it in the other. Like it makes absolutely no difference to my customers where I physically am. I don't have any clients in Darwin. Well, I think I've got a couple, but it doesn't matter where I am. My clients are all over the world.
Wow, wouldn't it? What a good way. And is that common for some other military spouses in your experience as well, that they've just had to adapt, and particularly that online model now with technology, it certainly works well for them?
Yeah. So what I find anecdotally, of course, like I don't have the statistics for this, but a lot of defense spouses are nurses and teachers, because these are jobs that are really easy to get in new locations. Or I say easy, teacher, you have to pass some exams to get qualifications to teach in different states, but it is at least you're going to get a job pretty quickly. Nurses especially, so easy to do that. The entrepreneurs start as like side hustler because they have kids and they don't have a husband there that's able to always be there to help as they start a business. So usually they're like raising a family while also maybe making jewelry or starting to do some accounting freelancing or some copywriting freelancing. And they often start as home-based businesses. I also want to say that defense does not factor in me and my career in the slightest. Like, as much as they take care of the serving member with all of his medical appointments and all of his this and that, they don't pay for my medical, they don't pay for my family's insurance. And if I say to them, hey, I run a home-based business, I need a house with an extra bedroom, they're like, there's no way. There's no allowances for my career. And a lot of defense housing is like 40 minutes from the city. So if you run a business and you're like, well, I need to be close to the city to see people, they're like, that's not our concern. So it's not a perfect system where it's very archaic, Karina. Like, it's like the army is working on a framework of the man goes and earns the money and the wife is at home with the home fires burning, raising the children. Like,
I've got this mental image of like, say, World War II, of what you saw of the images. The men off at war and there's the woman, you know, doing all the knitting and stitching and waiting for the
sending him care packages.
Yeah.
That's the 2023 policies for the military are based on, you know, two generations ago of gender.
Because even like, no childcare support, no nothing. Like if they were a single parent, how would they then cope with kids and everything else like that?
Yeah. And look, there are some services available. They are very much targeted to non-professionals. So there's like, they'll help you write a resume. They will give you $1,000 towards some education so that you can change careers. There may be some grants. The problem with it, though, is that it is such a big organization, so much bureaucracy, and they don't communicate directly with me as a partner. It needs to go through the member, and the member is a man. And men are terrible at passing along information.
Oh, yeah. I think I got an email about that. Yeah.
Would that be of interest to you? What, like, how the Defence Force supports members and families. Yeah,
that might be good. Yeah, particularly when you're on deployment. Yeah, that'd be really good.
So, and this is where, like, you know, we were talking about Rebecca Rayner is doing, like, honestly, God's work in bringing that information to the spouses. She runs Military Life Podcast and has the Military Life Community, and she's all about putting defense partners directly in front of service providers who are there to support defense families, because I'd have no idea if I'm eligible for anything. And to be honest, I don't have 10 hours to go down bureaucratic rabbit holes to figure out if I'm eligible for something. So yeah, she's really doing a great job. Where we get the most support is with housing. Mm. So defense housing is heavily subsidized. We lived in a 4-bedroom house in Adamstown in Newcastle. Gorgeous suburb, 6 minutes from the beach, lovely suburb. And we were paying something like $400 a fortnight. Like,
wow.
Yeah. Like, so good. And also we own our house in Darwin and they subsidize our home loan. And we also get a better home loan. So housing is where they really come to the table.
Yeah. And what's been some other, I guess, have you had any other more unique challenges I guess the way, and I'm saying this in inverted commas, it's typical, probably, you know, the classic, you know, two working parents and the like. There are some other unique challenges that you look at other people going, you don't know. We'll talk about this as we're about to start to record, you know, the perception ladder, and you're like, yeah, it'd be nice to actually have someone coming home every night for dinner and, you know, sharing the cooking and the like. So, and there's some other things that people say to you, yeah, but that's normal. You're like, no.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to tell you two stories. So the first one is about a dentist. Okay. So in Newcastle, which is where I came from, I saw a dentist and they put some retaining wires behind my teeth. As with all defense spouses, we get zero continuity of care. Like, I don't know how many doctors and dentists I've had to see over the last 12 years. It has been so many. And so I just get shoved from person to person. And so I booked in to see a dentist in Darwin, and he had not seen these retaining wires before because he didn't put them in. And he was getting very frustrated and almost a bit aggressive because he was having trouble with the retaining wires. And he made me feel really, really uncomfortable in the chair. And I ended up walking out of that appointment $500 poorer and with no retaining wire. He actually pulled it out. And I just bawled in the car on the way home because, you know, there was no empathy and no compassion for the fact that, like, this is my life. We take for granted something so simple as that you've probably seen the same doctor for the last 10 years and he knows your pregnancy and all the complications that you had with your pregnancy. Like, I don't know how many doctors I've seen over my pregnancy because, like, yeah, so like something so simple like a dentist can be a terrible, terrible day for you because, yeah, you just don't get that continuity of care. And then I want to tell you an even sadder story, which was my birthday this year. I woke up to phone calls, text messages. My phone was lighting up and I was really excited. I love my birthday. I'm a Leo, so like bring on the attention. And I was like, oh, this is exciting. I'm going to get out of bed and I'm going to start seeing all the love. And the first text message that I received was from my good friend Casey saying, Mia, there's been a helicopter crash on the exercise that your husband is currently on. Is Dave okay? And like, of all the like little things in my life, you know, I have to change my number plates and I have to get, you know, new license and registration every time I move and I have to pick up my family. We kind of gloss over the fact that my husband does a very dangerous job.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was my birthday. And like, I confirmed 15 minutes later that it was not my husband that died, but it was some other military spouse's husband that died that day. Four brave soldiers died in a helicopter crash. And then I spoke to my husband. He's like, oh, I don't know if I should tell you this, but I was actually in one of those helicopters that crashed. I'm like, no, I don't think I needed to hear that. Thanks, Dave.
Oh my God.
So there's that. We just live with this constant, niggling, buried fear that that could happen. It could happen on exercise and it could absolutely happen on deployment.
And I guess there's so much going on literally as we're recording this around the world at the moment that, you know, with Israel and Hamas, like it's just this, yeah.
Oh.
That honestly, you're telling that story, no joke. I was getting chills as you were just saying that. And it's probably that in the back of your mind, it's that phone call.
Yeah.
That you never particularly want. Yeah. That's full on. Well, fingers crossed, Dave is always gonna be coming home. What do you do to, like, when he's coming back, but even while he's on deployment, how do you maintain that communication, not only for yourself, but also for the kids? In maintaining their relationship with their dad?
Yeah, so I would speak to him every couple of nights if I can. There are times where he doesn't have comms at all, which makes things a little bit tricky. We do try to FaceTime with the kids. The kids are quite young, so if he's not physically there, it makes it a bit challenging. They're running around. Like, you think it's going to work doing that, but it doesn't actually. Like I said, I think my kids don't know any different, so this is half a course for us. I feel like it takes a particular type of personality, type of person to be a defense spouse. I've always loved adventure. I've always loved travel. I lived abroad for 2.5 years before I met Dave. I just picked up my life and moved to France. I knew I didn't speak French. I didn't have a job. I didn't know anyone in France. I met a boyfriend in Thailand and I went to France, like just crazy. And I broke up with the boyfriend very soon thereafter, but I stayed in France for 2.5 years. So that's kind of how I like to live my life anyway. So this sort of pick up and move suits me. So I guess, you know, that would be the first thing is if you love being around your family and you need family support and, you know, you can just pop over to your mum's for dinner and, you know, you and your sister go for runs every week, then this is not the life for you. You have to be made of different stock and you have to really enjoy your own company because even though I'm a raging extrovert that requires time on my own. So I'm sort of a middle of the road. So I find that the times that Dave's away can be quite beneficial to me in some ways. So I eat what I want as opposed to having to make these big, meaty, carb loaded dishes that he eats. You know, like I'm really happy with a salmon salad, you know, whereas he's not going to eat that. I watch what I want, you know, as I'm sure most couples have to compromise on what they're going to watch. I can Virgin River that for as much as I like. Yeah, it's an opportunity for me to do things that I really enjoy doing that he doesn't like doing. I'm big into theater and the arts, so I'll try to book lots of shows. It also means I have to pay lots of babysitters in order to get that time away. So it really comes down to this lifestyle has to suit you and it does suit me. I think the thing that keeps me going the most is the pride in what he does and the fact that he's happy. You know, that's all you want for your partner, isn't it? And so if he's happy, he's got this really cool job, like seriously cool. And, you know, he's doing something that's really giving back to our society, then it makes you can put up with the lot.
Yeah. And you know, you've got so much pride and that certainly comes through in so many ways. There's obviously those moments where it's just, I remember that helicopter crash and you were the very first person I think I thought about when I heard that of actually what was happening. So it's one of those things. And I think also just in the back of your mind about what's happening around in the world at the moment, it's a very real and quite scary at times, even just as a plain civilian about what's happening. It's certainly there. So are there any other tips that you've got in terms of how you manage the juggle, I guess, with having your own business, which is a successful business, and certainly you are known as the campaign queen and the campaign expert. So you've really built up this business, but then also then maintaining this, I guess, transient life as well for both you and your kids.
Yeah, I think I've got lots. I've worked out quite a few hacks over the time. So I've always expected my kids to play independently. So, you know, I've tried not to, you know, helicopter parent them too much so that they build those skills to be able to play independently. I talk to them a lot about my business and I try to involve them in the business. It has taken work for them to understand that I'm at home, but I'm working and that they can't interrupt or that I can't be, you know, giving them my sole attention for this time. And that's going to be constantly evolving. But I think that I handle that better than most just out of pure necessity. Whereas I know that I've got friends that say, my kids are home, I can't work. Whereas I would never be able to work if that were the case. So it has to be a balance where my kids know there are times that they're at home, but I'm working. So that helps for sure. I'm also very good at working from wherever I am. So if that's basketball training, if that's the car, if that's soccer training, like I look so ridiculous, but I will have my laptop at the soccer training and I will be, you know, catching up on something there. What else? I mean, it's a lot of little things. Like, you know, I do Woolworths grocery delivery and I batch cook and I eat from my freezer and, you know, like there's those little things that I think add up, you know, it's like, it's, you know, it's all cumulative. It's not one big thing. It's like all these little time-saving hacks that you can piece together, that you can win back the time. But like, I do get frustrated when people are like, oh, I've got no time for exercise, no time for self-care. But my husband's there 5 days a week. And so I don't like excuses. I prioritize the things that are important to me and I exercise 6 days a week. So I feel like it's where you place emphasis. I don't watch a lot of TV. So there's economies there. I don't go out for brunch a lot. So there's just little things that it's all about lifestyle design, right? Like what is important to you? I love working. I love that I have a very successful business, which allows us to continue this lifestyle where, you know, it's not a constant source of friction between my husband and I, that I'm not happy in my career. I'm very happy in my career. I should also mention that divorce rates among civilians sits at about 45-42%. Divorce rates amongst defense families is 55-60%. Like it's daggeringly higher because this lifestyle is so difficult. So I don't want to get divorced. I love my husband. So yeah, where was I going with that?
Your tips.
Yeah, my tips. So I'm thankful that this business works the way that it does so that I can continue this lifestyle for, and it's not going to be forever, but while he's happy in the military, I'm really happy to give this a good hard crack.
I love one of your hacks of living in Darwin that you gave a little while ago is that you have to put the flour into the fridge. I never knew that about living in the top end. That was amazing what you have to keep in the fridge. So even just living in Darwin, I found that was certainly an insight that you were able to give.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, everything has to go in the fridge. The chocolate, the meat that we don't eat. Like, so if there's a little bit of taco meat left over from dinner, we're not going to eat it. That has to go in the freezer. If that goes in the bin, I've got a maggot problem the next day. And it's like so gross, so, so, so gross. But like living in regional areas, which is what I've done for the last 12 years, is awesome. Like, I don't want to move back to Melbourne. We don't have any traffic. The pace is slower. My kids go to school with like less than 250 kids in the whole school. Like there are definite benefits to living in these regional areas. And I would never have experienced that if I had stayed in big city Melbourne. So I guess my biggest tip is just to focus on the unique opportunity that this life gives you. Okay. Like there are people who are like, I'd love to go to Darwin, but first of all, the flights are $3,000 and you have to fly in the middle of the night, and then accommodation's $600 a night. And then, you know, it's hot as hell. So, you know, there are Australians who will never come and see the top end. And I've been able to live here for 6 years and I don't even feel like I've scratched the surface in terms of exploring it. So again, I would never have had that opportunity before.
Yeah, it's certainly, you, as you said earlier, you're able to see parts of Australia and certainly go on family holidays, give really these amazing experiences to your kids in situations that you wouldn't be able to otherwise.
Have you been to Darwin, Karina?
I have, yes.
Yeah.
I've done it once before for work, but it's certainly on my bucket list to go back. And I remember this amazing thunderstorm rolling in and I was in this, you could just tell, and the rain was torrential.
Mm-hmm.
I think I went about November.
Hot.
It was very hot. I remember walking off the plane. Even the plane was
hot. Yeah. But like, you're right. Like, when are you going to see that kind of monsoonal kind of storm? Like, so cool.
Yeah. No, it's definitely, it's something my husband and I have talked about, is taking the kids up there. I think also just to appreciate and to experience a different part of Australia and civilian life and, you know, change perspectives even in your own country. So,
Yeah.
And just wondering, because I know that you've got some exciting things coming up for yourself and your family, but how do you, like, where do you see yourself, like, going forward, your future goals and aspirations? So obviously Dave is quite happy at the moment, yourself, like, I'm guessing the kids are pretty used to life as it is at now. So how do you see this, you know, playing out as with the military spouse, your own career and things like that going forward?
Yeah, so I've got big ambitions for this business. We launched Campaign Del Mar 3 years ago, and every year we have doubled our revenue. This is our most successful year yet. So there's a lot of momentum behind this business. And so I definitely want to see where that goes. And I feel like it's definitely got the potential. next year we are taking a sabbatical year. So Dave is taking a year off the military and we're moving overseas. And that was, it's so exciting, but it's all difficult in terms of the business because I feel like there's all this momentum and then I'm suddenly just pulling the brakes, but it's also a once in a lifetime opportunity. So I'm trying not to make any promises to anyone about how much I'm going to work next year. I'm a workaholic, Karina. So
You're going.
Yeah. So like that should be taken into consideration. I love working. It's Saturday afternoon and I could do whatever I want. The kids are happy. They're playing. And instead of Virgin River, I sit down and I just like write an article that gets published. Like that's just, it's annoying sometimes because I can't turn my business brain off just because I feel like I'm really creating something that I'm really passionate about here, as all business owners should be. If you don't love it, don't do it. So that's next year. And so it's going to be a bit of a maintenance year, let's say, for 2024. So not trying to like smash any goals. And then when we get back, who knows? Like I can't forward plan too much. Like I have no idea where they're going to send us and if we're even going to be in the military at that point. So I tend to take it pretty day by day, but I definitely know where I want to take the business and I do have really big ambitions for it. I mean, you know, this business has the potential to be several million dollars worth of revenue. And so, yeah, just chip away at that. I'm really building up Emily, who is my team member, to take more of a front row seat in the business. And so, yeah, I want this business to be bigger than me as well.
Fantastic. And I certainly can't wait to see what all the adventures that you get up to next year and what probably also for yourselves as a family, you know, connecting 24/7, which I'm sure will also be, you know, good for everyone, but also, you know, probably a readjustment as well at some point.
Oh, COVID was like weird. He was just home all the time. And initially it was really difficult because it's like, when are you going to go again so I can just have a bit of me time? But then we adjusted to him being there and it was really nice. And so then when he had to go again, it was difficult. So just it is what it is.
Yeah. And what do you do to Mia to fill your cup and, you know, keep yourself sane?
So exercise is a big thing for me. I start every day with exercise. I love yoga. I've just discovered Reformer Pilates. Like for someone that does quite a bit of exercise, I'm almost embarrassed to admit that I've never done Reformer Pilates before, but I discovered it last week in Melbourne, actually.
Oh, how good is it?
That's my mate. Oh my God, the burn. The burn. I go to F45. I go for walks. I have a bike. I ride my bike. So like I find that I can handle almost anything if I've had a sweat session. And then, yeah, just good food. And now living in the tropics helps as well. Like I'm constantly in a beautiful natural environment, you know, like I'm staring outside. It's a tropical garden. The pool's right there. Like it's pretty good for refilling your cup.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for sharing your journey and your story as a military spouse, because it's not something that, you know, not many people know about, and you've certainly lifted the lid. And for those that want to get in touch with you and hear a little bit more about Campaign Delma, how can they get in touch with you?
Oh, yeah, I'm everywhere. I get around. So the best place is campaigndelma.com, but I'm also on Instagram, LinkedIn, and TikTok.
And you've also got your own podcast as well.
Oh, I do. I forgot about that. Thanks so much. It's called Got Marketing with the question mark. So definitely I'd love for any fellow marketing geeks to tune in and have a listen.
Yeah. And she's always got some really helpful, insightful tips on there. And she's also got a really good weekly email as well. So definitely, that's right. I'll do your plugs for you, Mia. Well, thank you so much, Mia, for everything. And I can't wait to follow your journey next year because I know you're going to near a ski resort and I'm very excited to watch how the family goes there. So thank you so much. Really appreciate for your honesty and, you know, fingers crossed and best wishes for Dave staying safe and good luck in Darwin. And thank you again so much for sharing your story. Really appreciate it.
I loved this. Thank you so much, Karina. Definitely different for me. I'm so used to talking about marketing for 45 minutes. It's like sometimes a bit scary to talk about the other stuff.
Yeah. No, thank you. Thank you for listening to the Working Mama podcast. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast catcher. Please also feel free to contact me on any of the Working Mama social channels. Remember, Mama is M-U-M-M-A, or website www.workingmama.com.au. I would appreciate you to share this podcast with friends and colleagues, especially those that are parents managing the juggle. And I would really appreciate if you had to take the time out to leave a review of the podcast. Thank you and see you next time. Have a great week. Thank you for listening to the Working Mama podcast. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast catcher. Please also feel free to contact me on any of the Working Mama social channels. Remember, Mama is M-U-M-M-A, or website www.workingmama.com.au. I would appreciate you to share this podcast with friends and colleagues, especially those that are parents managing the juggle. And I would really appreciate if you had to take the time out to leave a review of the podcast. Thank you and see you next time. Have a great week.